Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. Happy Packers game day, friends. We now know that Jordan Love is going to play in this game. Now the only question that remains is, can Green Bay pick up that huge win against Detroit? But since it's game day, it's time to get our Prize Pick selections in for the week. Of course, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. So let's get to it. My picks for today's game. I am starting with Christian Watson, more than 30 and a half receiving yards. Listen, Christian is due for a big game. It would not surprise me if this is the game where we saw Christian go over 100 receiving yards. And I'll be the first to admit, it is tough to predict any given week which of these wide receivers or tight ends or running backs is going to be the potential focal point of the offense. In fact, there's a huge chance in every game that maybe none of them are focal points of the offense. But I like Green Bay to get Christian Watson involved. They know they're going to have to target him deep down the field. They may even get it to him on some really quick hitches, you know, just kind of some bubble screens in the backfield to give him the opportunity with the ball in his hands. I think this has the ability to be one of those big Christian Watson games. I think it needs to be one of those big Christian Watson games. So I'm speaking it into existence. Christian Watson, more than 30 and a half receiving yards. The second one is kind of exactly what we're just talking about, is you can never quite tell which of these receiving threats are going to be the guy in the offense, but I don't think this one's going to be Tucker Kraft. I think Tucker Kraft, less than 5 receiving targets in this one. Listen, as we talked about, could be Dobbs, Wicks, Reed, Watson, and we are obviously hedging a little bit here towards Christian Watson, but I think 5 receiving targets for Kraft seems like quite a few, and hopefully Green Bay does not have to throw as much as maybe some of us are thinking in this game, and they can really get that run game going as well. And I just think anytime you get up into that 5+ targets for anyone, it's going to be difficult because of all the mouths that you have to feed. So I'm going Tucker Kraft, fewer than 5 receiving targets in this game. From a Detroit standpoint, they have one big-time receiver, and they utilize him a ton. And with Jaire Alexander as an unknown in this game, I fully expect Amon-Ra St. Brown to be a focal point of this Detroit offense, as he is almost every single week. He is a receiving target machine. He usually is one of their most utilized players on the entire team, and I'm going with more than 6 receptions for Amon-Ra St. Brown against this Green Bay secondary. And then last but not least, Jahmyr Gibbs, less than 91 and a half rushing plus receiving yards. I think Detroit is going to have success running in this game. I think we're going to see a lot of David Montgomery, who's had a lot of success against Green Bay in the past. So just to go over this one more time, Christian Watson, more than 30 and a half receiving yards. Tucker Kraft, fewer than 5 receiving targets. Amon-Ra St. Brown, more than 6 receptions. And Jahmyr Gibbs, fewer than 91 and a half rushing plus receiving yards. As always, though, there are a ton of amazing options out there for this game and every other game, so there's no reason to not get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game.
Minutes a day. 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine and specifically your game day routine. You guys are the absolute best. Let's start off right away by thanking our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, E, Charles Seifert, Corey Davis, Tucker Lover, Ken Clips, and John FL. Appreciate you guys signing up. Make sure to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships if you've not done so already. Also, love to tell you about the Autograph app. We're going to be doing something really fun on Sunday. You're going to want to download the app. Utilize code PACKADAY when you're signing up. It's free to do so. I'm going to be doing a live halftime chat right on the Autograph app for about 15 to 20 minutes during halftime of the Lions game. So you're going to want to make sure to check that out. So download the app right now and make sure you're ready to go for that. You can ask questions. So I will be in there basically doing like a Q&A. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. So again, halftime of the Lions game, Autograph app, live chat, breaking everything down for you guys. So very, very excited about that. And again, make sure to check out the app every single day. Tons of awesome stuff out there. And the best way to listen to the Pack-A-Day Podcast if you're listening on the audio side. Also, We've got our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. There is no player that I will be watching more in this one, and that, quite frankly, I think maybe has more pressure on him than Rashawn Gary. And pressure is an interesting word here, because that's exactly what Rashawn Gary needs to do in this game, is get Jared Goff under pressure. Jared Goff's numbers this year have been fine under pressure. They've actually been really good under pressure. I understand that. You still want that over the alternative. You cannot let Jared Goff sit in the pocket and have all the time to throw. That is a recipe for disaster in this game, especially, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, especially as you're likely missing two of your top defensive backs. We already know Evan Williams is out and Jair Alexander questionable. I think probably unlikely to play in this one. So if you are banged up in the secondary, it even is more important that you're getting to the quarterback and getting that pressure on Jared Goff. And quite frankly, it may even need to be more than pressure. You might absolutely need to get him to the ground just to make sure that you're not getting those throws downfield, right? Because pressure's great. Sacks are better. Hopefully some forced fumbles in there too would be nice. But this is a huge game for Rashawn Gary. They need him to step up. They need him to be the guy in this game, really winning those one-on-one matchups when he gets the opportunity to do so. This is a big game for Rashawn Gary. He is our Luigi's Pizza player to watch. Also remember Luigi's Victory Monday. You can use hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday to be entered in for an opportunity to win a case of free pizzas from Luigi's. You're going to want to make sure to do that. Our winner last week, Ed Hansen, he's already got me his contact info, and we are getting those free pizzas on the way to him. So again, hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday, and make sure to follow Luigi's Pizza on Twitter at LuigiesPizza. All right, let's get to the injury report. The final injury report in this one, Evan Williams is officially out for the game. Josh Myers is doubtful, and I very much doubt that he actually ends up playing in this one. Questionable, Jair Alexander, Corey Ballantyne, Josh Jacobs, and Jordan Love. Now, we did receive great news on Saturday. Multiple reports, first by Diana Russini, that Jordan Love is expected to play in this game. So he is going to be the starter, and he will be good to go against Detroit. How well he can play, what his mobility is like, can they utilize him under center? Those are all questions that we're going to have to keep a very close eye on Sunday. But I still think, obviously, huge news that Jordan will be able to go. We've already heard that Josh Jacobs is, you know, likely going to go. He said he's going to be good to go for this game. Corey Ballantyne practiced all week long, so I'd expect him to go as well. Green Bay did only activate one corner. We'll get to that more in just a moment, which would lead me to believe likely only one corner out for this game. One of which practiced all week, one of which did not practice all week. And I think that's probably your differentiator. So I'm expecting Corey Ballantyne will go. I'm expecting that Jair Alexander will not go in this game. Again, he did not practice all week, including Friday. And that would clearly be a massive blow for Green Bay. So with Evan Williams out in this game and with Jair Alexander unlikely to play, here are the defensive back sort of situations and depth chart that I'm expecting to see in this game. In base defense, I expect that we'll see Keyshawn Nixon on the outside, and then either Eric Stokes or Carrington Valentine at that outside corner opposite Keyshawn Nixon. I think we may see a little bit more Valentine in this one, but we'll have to wait and see. And then Javon Bullard and Xavier McKinney at safety. In nickel, Keyshawn will move into the slot, and then you'll get Stokes and Valentine on the outside with Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard at safety. And then in your dime, I'm expecting to see Xavier McKinney and Bullard still at safety with, then you have Keyshawn Nixon and Corey Ballantyne in the slot with Valentine and Stokes on the outside. So those are my expectations for what the secondary will look like in this game. Again, assuming Jair does not play. And then on the offensive line side with Myers out, very much expecting Elgton Jenkins at center. Then at left guard, you would have Sean Ryan, right guard Jordan Morgan, left tackle Rashid Walker, right tackle Zach Tom. So those are the lineup changes I would expect based on those potential inactives, with, again, Williams being out, Myers being doubtful, and Jair being questionable and, in my opinion, unlikely to play. But again, the huge news is that Jordan Love will be the starter in this game. For the Lions, Broderick Martin, Josh Pascal, and Malcolm Rodriguez are all out for this game. Sione Vakai and Mekhi Wingo are doubtful, so I expect all five of those players to be out in this one, and then everyone else is going to be good to go for them. They had nobody on even the questionable list. Defensive end is going to be the big question mark for Detroit. We know that Pascal is now out. We know Aiden Hutchinson is out for the year. Marcus Davenport is out for the year. John Kaminsky is another player who had a great season last year against Green Bay specifically. Their defensive end rotation left is Levi Onwuzurike, who's really a defensive tackle that's kind of kicking to that outside spot. Trevor Nowoski, Isaiah Thomas, James Houston, and Elkadeen Muhammad. It is not a super deep nor talented defensive end group going up against two of the better pass protecting tackles in football in Zach Tom and Rashid Walker. So that is advantage Green Bay. And we'll talk about that interior line matchup in just a moment as we get to our keys for the game. As I mentioned, Green Bay only called up one player for this game. That was corner Kamal Haddon. Now remember, Robert Rochell, the corner that they usually call up, is out of call-up. So if they would have wanted to put him on the 53, or like had him active for this game, they would have had to put him on the 53-man roster. They did not do so. Instead, they chose to elevate Kamal Haddon for the second time. This once again leads me to believe that likely only one corner will be missing. If both Ballantyne and Jair were unable to go, they probably would have called up Kalen King as well or made a move for Robert Rochell. But instead, they only go with Haddon, which again does lead me to believe one of them will play. But as I mentioned earlier, with one of them, particularly Ballantyne, practicing all week and Jair not practicing once, my expectation is that Ballantyne will be up and Jair will not be. It's possible that both Jair and Ballantyne could be up and they just called up a corner to be extra safe because of the injuries that you have there, plus the injury to Evan Williams and just kind of the lack of depth in the secondary. But we'll have to wait and see for those inactives an hour and a half before the game. But my assumption, based on what we kind of know right now, is that Jair, again, unlikely to play. My expected inactives for this game for Green Bay: Evan Williams, Josh Myers, Jair Alexander, Brenton Cox, Travis Glover, and then they'll have one other guy that they're going to have to deactivate. I think actually Malik Heath is the one that probably makes the most sense. It's not a guarantee. Like, Ketanel Adapo is usually the guy here, but with the secondary, specifically safety, being down because of Evan Williams' absence, I would expect that Oladapo is probably up for this one. And there's not really anyone else that makes a ton of sense. The only other one I could potentially see them considering would be John Fitzpatrick, but that would limit them to only two tight ends for this game. So I would expect Fitzpatrick to go as well. So I think it might be Malik Heath that could be inactive, but there'll be a little bit more of an interesting decision on that final inactive. But Evan Williams, Josh Myers, Jair Alexander, Brenton Cox, and Travis Glover, I think, are your pretty safe bets to be inactive for this game. All right, let's get to our keys and what I will be watching in this one. And we sort of touched on it, obviously, with the Rashawn Gary as our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. But number one is still get pressure on Jared Goff. It's a must. It's not optional in this game. You have to pressure him. You have to get him off his spot. And you cannot let him be comfortable. And part of that is stopping the run, too, to some extent, so they can't just run the ball and he can just do play action all day, or that they're playing from ahead. We'll talk about that, too. But regardless of the situation, I don't care if it's first down or third down, anything in between, I don't care if it's first and 20 or third and one, whatever it may be, if Jared Goff goes back and drops to pass, you got to find a way to get pressure on him. And it's easier said than done. It is not an easy task when you're going up against two very talented tackles, specifically Penei Sewell, but Decker is really good as well. Ragnow at center, a solid offensive line overall, a quarterback that knows where to go with the football and gets the ball out of his hands quick. And then, you know, tight ends and running backs who know how to chip and help out where needed. It's not an easy task. Add on top of that this Packers defensive front has been pretty poor at getting to the quarterback all season long, specifically with four guys. And you have a matchup that heavily favors Detroit in this one, but doesn't always go that way. You're at home, you're at Lambeau Field. Hopefully the crowd is loud and Detroit has to go on a silent count. If the crowd can be loud and you can get them on a silent count, that's going to be advantage Green Bay as well. Might be able to jump those counts a little bit better and hopefully get that pressure. Graham Glasgow is one that you can definitely attack there. I think you can have some advantageous matchups, whether it be a Kenny Clark or a Devontae Wyatt, maybe even a Carl Brooks, but you got to find a way one way or the other. And if you can't, then you're going to have to start bringing pressure. And the hard part of this is, again, is no Jair Alexander, right? So they have that wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is a go-to guy who is constantly targeted, and they know how to get him open and he knows how to work open. And the one guy that you probably felt comfortable in Jair Alexander of maybe slowing some of that down or making it so that it's maybe at least not an easy opportunity, right? He's probably going to be gone for this game. So you don't have that real great level of comfortability if you're just going, you know, man on the back end or whatever you're doing or trying to match up with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You don't have that corner that you feel super comfortable with. So bringing extra guys, it sounds good. But again, you may be leaving some opportunities for their best playmaker in Amon-Ra St. Brown. So find a way to get pressure, hopefully with four, hopefully with their front four. And if not, then you're going to have to be very creative and pick your opportunities, because otherwise, again, they can pick you apart specifically with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number two, we can talk about this every week to some extent, but it has definitely been a little bit of the Achilles heel for Green Bay so far this year, and has definitely been something that they've kind of put on their resume. And that's the self-inflicted mistakes. I talked about this in the chat yesterday. You can potentially have a situation where you maybe tie the turnover battle, right? And still come away with a win. You're definitely not getting away with a Houston Texans game where you lose the turnover battle by three and still find a way to win. I don't know that you can lose it by one and still find a way to win. And even if you win by one, I think it's still going to be a difficult game to win. So they have to find a way to, at minimum, and I mean at minimum, not lose the turnover battle. And clearly winning the turnover battle would be a huge step in the right direction. But above and beyond that, because we could go over turnovers every single week. It's like the 1A indicator, right? But it's just all the other stuff too, whether it be Keyshawn Nixon not fielding a punt like he did against Houston, or whether it be, again, some of the interceptions, which obviously goes into that turnover battle, but penalties too, or drops, or whatever it might be. It's just going to be a game where you have to be mentally focused, but, and this is the huge thing, not trying to do too much. This is a very classic, do your 111th, do what you're supposed to do, don't make mistakes, be assignment sure, know exactly what your role is in this game, and then go out and execute it to the best of your extent. If Green Bay can do that, they have a great chance of winning this game, but they cannot really overcome, in my opinion, a ton of self-inflicted wounds in this one, not against a team like Detroit, who is so freaking efficient. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, GameTime has a brand new feature called GameTime Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through GameTime right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, GameTime has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or GameTime will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download GameTime today. What time is it? Game time. Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it? Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Now, whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish, or if you prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. So head over to manscaped.com and join over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. I still remember going through high school and college with a crappy razor and showing up to class with toilet paper stuck to my face and trying to stop it was an absolute nightmare. It was not a good scene. I only wish I had a Chairman Pro when I was younger. And here's the thing. The Chairman Pro isn't just for daily shaves either. It's powerful enough to tackle up to a 5-day growth, making it perfect whether you're shaving every day or just tidying up after a few days. And with up to 75 minutes of runtime on a single charge, you can take your time getting the perfect shave. So you can get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. So get 20% off and free shipping with code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. Number three, talked about this one as well, but beware those sneaky Detroit Lions. They are going to have a few trick plays up their sleeve. I don't know what it's going to be this week. We talked about it with Rachel Hotmeyer the other day. I don't know if it's some sort of triple reverse or a fumble rooski or a quarter, you know, pass back to the quarterback, flea flicker. Who knows? It might be something that no one's even ever seen before on a football field. It wouldn't surprise me if they went with the old barking dog trick. Or like I said to Rachel the other day, maybe they handed the offensive lineman just to troll the Bears in the division a little bit of like, oh, remember when you fumbled with your offensive lineman? We can do this. We'll give it to Penei Sewell and he'll barrel in for 3 yards if need be, right? I don't know what it's going to be, but it'll probably be something. It almost always is. They don't come to the game empty-handed when it comes to trick plays. So you have to be aware. And I think the other thing you almost have to be cognizant of too is that you're not overthinking it. You don't want to go into every play just having paralysis by analysis and trying to figure out, all right, are they doing something tricky? Are they doing something tricky? You still want to play fast and physical and aggressive football. If your mind starts getting a little bit too, I don't know, just like active, right? And starts like thinking of everything of like, oh, I think this is a toss play to the left, but like, I'm so afraid that like maybe they're going to do something crazy on the backside. Like you don't want to also get to the point where you're not just playing ball, because that is detrimental to you as well. And that's what Detroit does to you. They get you thinking of everything. They think that any given play could be a, you know, the play that you're expecting, or a counter off of it, or a play action off of it, or a trick play off of it. And that's exactly what they do to you. So you still have to find a way to play fast and play your brand of football and not be afraid, but beware at the same time. Number four, control the Lions' rushing attack. You don't have to stop it. All right. I'm not expecting a, you know, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, 15 carry for 35 yard day. That's certainly not what I'm expecting. They're going to get theirs. And I think the big thing, we've talked about this in some of the other matchups, if you can get them to 25, 26 carries for 115 yards, 120 yards, you're still okay. Like, you tip your cap a little bit. I'm not super worried about that. I think you can win this game if they still have some success on the ground, or like a solid day on the ground. What you cannot have is 24 carries for 190 yards for the Detroit running backs. You can't have 36 carries for 175, which just indicates that they've been able to run the ball all day and stay balanced all day. You can't have a situation where Jahmyr Gibbs is ripping off a 70-yard touchdown run, the big explosive plays, right? So that's what I'm looking for. If they get their 24 carries for 110 yards, 115 yards, okay, they had a nice day, but you can survive that. You can't survive the big stuff. You can't survive 180. You can't survive 80-yard touchdown runs. Those are the things you have to find a way to limit and control. So it doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be lockdown. Doesn't have to be, you know, the Barry Sanders negative yard rushing attempt or rushing yard game in the playoffs or anything like that. Just has to be a good, solid effort to make sure that that's not the difference maker in this game. And if they can do that, again, I really like Green Bay's chances. Number five, special teams. So once again, when we talk about the whether it's the self-inflicted wounds or just how difficult of a game this is, you can't have the catastrophic special teams mistakes. It can be a nondescript game from the special teams. I will absolutely take that. I would love, and I mean beyond love, if this could be the game where the special teams actually shows their mettle, their show their worth, right? Can you do something? Can you get a punt return for a touchdown? Can you get a kick return for a touchdown? Can you get a blocked field goal, a blocked punt, a something that just changes the game? Can Daniel Whalen pin him out at the 1 yard line, which leads to a safety on the next play or something like that? Something. Again, I will gladly sign up right now. If you want to hand me the contract, I will gladly take for forgettable neutral level special teams. But if Green Bay special teams could be the one that actually makes the play in this game to help them rather than hurt them, man, would that flip the script just a little bit. Khalif Raymond, 90 yard punt return touchdown last week. So dangerous line special teams. Their field goal kicker has been perfect so far from field goals. I think he missed an extra point if memory serves, but overall they've been really, really good. It's exactly what you would expect it to be. So I want Green Bay to be the one that at least, again, is not losing this game on special teams, but can they actually be the one to make a play in this game? Man, would that be fun. Man, would I love to see that. Number six, I think it's paramount that you get off to a fast start. I don't think this is the game where you can get behind by 14. You certainly cannot get behind 28-0 like you did against Minnesota. If you come out slow, Detroit's going to get that lead, and you're going to be trying to play catch up against a team that will grind it out against you and beat you into submission and try, as Xavier McKinney said, to embarrass you. And that's not the situation you want to be in. If, however, you can flip the script and get that early lead, maybe get a, you know, 10-point lead or whatever, you will see Detroit get a little bit more one-dimensional, maybe get away from their ground game a little bit, maybe put a little bit more on Jared Goff's plate. And I think that is your recipe for success. But it's going to take a good early lead for Green Bay and getting out to that fast start. And again, I don't think you can survive anything where you're down by three scores early or anything like that. Even a 10-0 deficit to start the game would be pretty tough to come back from. Not like, it's not impossible. I'm not saying, again, Detroit's, I want to be very clear here. Detroit is not this, you know, complete God mode, Hall of Fame worthy, whatever team at the moment, right? They're a good football team. But Green Bay's right there. And I mean, right there. And beat them in Detroit last year in Detroit, very similar teams. And Green Bay beat them. And I think this Green Bay team is much better than last year's. Maybe was playing better at that point last year. But I think overall, this team can be better than what we saw a season ago. Go out and show it again. But I do think you want to get off to that fast start and certainly not get far behind in this one. Number seven, attack the weak links. We talked about Graham Glasgow on the offensive line. And while Terry Arnold has definitely been playing better as of late, I still think he's the weakest link on that defensive secondary. And I think that's going to be the two guys that you want to try to target a little bit. See if you can get maybe a big holding penalty or pass interference on Terry Arnold, which he has shown the propensity to do. And I think Graham Glasgow can be the guy that you're attacking. I think Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks are two players that will work very well against Glasgow in this game. So you got to find those weaknesses. You got to pick and choose your moments. But those are the two that I'm probably going after a little bit more, one on each side of the ball. Number eight, I'm hoping, and I mean really, really hoping, that Jordan can go under center in this one. And if not, that's definitely going to change this game to a pretty large extent. I do think those two linebackers in Campbell and Anzalone are apt to bite up on play action, and you can get them over the top and hit that middle of the field. I have to be careful. Green Bay threw a pick in the middle of the field in that very similar situation off of play action against Detroit in week four last year. It was a big game changer. Detroit got it deep in Green Bay's territory because of it. So it's something you have to be careful of, but they will make some aggressive steps up and there will be that gap behind them. So if you can attack that area of the field off of play action, there are going to be opportunities there, but you're going to have to run the ball, get into those play action looks, and hope that Jordan Love is capable of doing it from under center and not just limiting, you know, himself to a pistol and shotgun day, which I think would definitely be detrimental to the overall offensive productivity and just the breadth of play calls that they could potentially play in this game. All right, number nine, manage the elements. It is supposed to rain in this game. Now, this is per FTN Fantasy. Jared Goff has played two rain games since coming to Detroit and only three times in his career. In the last two, a 35-17 loss to the Packers and a 16-16 tie to the Steelers. So a 16-point game and a 17-point game. This is the first game outside that Detroit has played all year. It's only their second game on grass that they have played all year. And it's obviously their first time that they've played in the rain. So this is a great opportunity for Green Bay. Now, I don't know that this is a massive advantage for Green Bay. Detroit is a very physical, tough-nosed team that likes to play violent football up in the trenches. They're going to like this. But I do think Green Bay has that home field advantage. They know the turf. I know Dan Campbell joked about wearing the right shoes and everything like that. It's going to be important. The field is going to be slick and slippery. So make sure that you are ready and prepared. Make sure you have the right cleats and hope that maybe Detroit maybe overestimates it or takes it for granted a little bit and Green Bay can come out with the win. And again, we haven't seen a great Jared Goff in the rain really in his career and certainly not as a member of the Detroit Lions. Number 10, remember and mind your self-scout this week. Last year, week four, the Detroit Lions saw something on tape when they had played Rasul Douglas prior to that season, the season before, where they ran a play and Douglas bit on, or not bit on something, but you know, was able to get a tell on Detroit and hit something hard. And like, I don't know if he broke up the pass or whatever he did, but he bit on it hard in the right way a couple of years ago. Then last year, Detroit saw that on tape and they used it against him. And they specifically put a play in the game plan to get that exact look and to do a little pump at Rasul Douglas with Amon-Ra St. Brown. They pumped his way. Rasul bit on it. Amon-Ra St. Brown went right around him, wide open, touchdown Amon-Ra St. Brown. They will find those little tells or tendencies that you have. So you have to really be careful and cognizant of your self-scout. Make sure that you're not putting anything out there that's predictable, because if so, Ben Johnson's going to find a way to take advantage of it. So mind your self-scout. Make sure you're dotting those I's and crossing those T's. And if the coaching staff does tell you something of like, hey, we got to be careful with this, be careful with it, because the Lions are probably going to attack it. Number 11, the Packers' interior offensive line, especially when it comes to pass pro. I told you guys, I really like the outside matchups. Detroit doesn't have any real problematic defensive ends, and you love your matchups with Rashid Walker and Zach Tom there. But Sean Ryan going from the right side to the left side in all likelihood, Elgton Jenkins moving to center, and Jordan Morgan getting the start and playing a full game at that right guard position. It's just going to be a degree of different. And I think that's where Detroit's playmakers are on the interior of that defense, specifically Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader. We might see Nwuzurike kick inside a little bit as well. So you've got to take your opportunities to make sure that you're protecting well. And that's where Detroit's going to attack, is the interior of the offensive line with their better players on their defensive line. So that they're going to have to be up to the task. This is a huge game for Jenkins, for Sean Ryan, and specifically for Jordan Morgan, who's likely to get the full game at right guard in this one. Number 12, last but not least, let's get Green Bay going into the bye the right way with a huge win against Detroit. picking up that divisional win that they need. You don't want to go to 0-2. You don't want to go to 2-3 in the conference. You don't want to see Detroit go to either 6-1 or 7-1 in the conference. You want to pick up this win. They've had great success against the AFC South. This is a huge win or a huge game against Detroit that they would love to get a huge win for. And if you do, if you can hopefully pick up a win in this one, get your bye week, get healthy, and then go against Chicago when you get back, that's the right way to go into this bye week. So hopefully Green Bay can do it, pick up that win, and just get everything kind of trending in the right direction and be sort of exactly where you want to be going into that bye week. All right, my prediction for this one, I'm going Packers 30, Lions 27, with a third straight walk-off winner for Brandon McManus. I'm going to say he's like a 50-yarder in this one. 50-yarder in the rain at the buzzer. Packers win 30-27. And again, a third consecutive walk-off winner. The AI, they're going with Green Bay. The AI's been perfect so far. This is probably the first one that's like really at risk at the moment. They're 8-0 on the season. Can the AI go to 9-0? If you don't remember or haven't heard, I did an AI predictor that we went through everything before the season started. We did all the results. And so far, the AI has predicted everything correctly up until this point, and we'll see if it can continue to stay undefeated as they hopefully pick up a win against the Lions and in this huge NFC North battle. So I'm going with the Packers. The AI is going with the Packers, and hopefully that is the case. Again, one more time, 30-27 is what I am specifically going with a Brandon McManus walk-off winner. Reminder, live pregame show, 11 a.m. on Sunday. If you're listening to this prior to that, make sure to check that out. Also, I'm going to do a live postgame show. I believe Nathan Marzion and Tyler Brook are going to be joining me as well. So check that out at around 8 p.m. Central Time. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews, and make sure to interact with the channel in any way that you can. That always helps the algorithm. But more than anything, I always appreciate all of your tremendous support and just being here day in and day out. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mosey to Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Jay Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Love and Football, and Puerto Rican Packer. I'll see you guys all tomorrow, hopefully for a Victory Monday. I'll see you on the pre and post game show, hopefully too. But on Monday, we'll be back, hopefully with a Victory Monday. I'll see you guys then. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.